Okay, we are up to Perek Chaf Hei, towards the end of Perek Chaf Hei. We're up to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Let me just go back one, just tell you one last word in Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chaf, we learned yesterday, Ma'adeh Beged Biyom Kora, Chaymetz Al Noser, Vishor Bashirim Al Lev Ra. So this pasuk we gave us two mashalim, referred to a garment that a beautiful garment according to the mitzvahs, a beautiful garment on a bitter cold winter day is not going to accomplish anything. Chaymetz al noser, pouring chaymetz upon soft earth is not going to accomplish anything. Likewise, v'shar bashirim alev ra, singing songs to a person who is bitter is not going to cheer him up. A person that's clinically depressed needs a lot more help than just nice. So it was a very interesting idea that generally you go to talk to a psychologist trying to talk someone out of something, someone who's very, very sick, clinically depressed. There's a whole school of doctors that are against medicine. And unfortunately, I have.
Talk
therapy. Yeah. So they only you can do. They believe you can talk. You can talk anyone out of depression. I'm sorry to tell you, the people that I know that suffer from depression just doesn't seem to work. Medicine goes very long way. It says in the pasuk, v'shar bashirim alev ra. It's not going to work. Just singing lullabies, songs to a person that has a lev ra, it's not going to help. You need to take more. The action a person needs to take is much more extreme. Just like a summer suit's not going to give you warmth on a bitter day, and vinegar, this example of vinegar al nasser, is not going to accomplish anything. Sometimes nice talk, sweet talk, is not going to lift a person out of a state of depression. Sometimes there are more things that need to be done. Talk is not always enough. Now there is just one very interesting medrash. The medrash applies the last half of the pasuk. I'm not sure that the pasuk that it's meant to be interpreted with in the entire pasuk, but it's at least used as an expression in reference to the generation that lived before the Churban Bayis Rishon, and they listened to the words of the Nevi'im, the words of Musar. From Yeshaya wasn't the generation before the Churban, he was a little bit further back, but going back, let's say, to Yechezkel and to Yirmiah that lived at that time, when they heard Yechezkel and Yirmiah telling Klal Yisrael, watch out, if you don't do tshuva, there's going to be a Churban, they said, your words, they're songs. They're not to be taken seriously. They viewed their words as v'zel. What it says over here in the Eicha Rabasi. Where else would you find such a type of medrash? V'shor bashirim alev ra mitoch shahaya libam ra. Due to the fact that the people that lived in this generation were evil people, had a very evil heart. They would say about the prophets, Al divri hanavim shehim shirim umelitzay spilvat. Their words of Musar are not to be taken seriously. It's homiletics. It's eloquent speeches. But we don't need to act. We do not need to change our ways. V'hayu mishirim shirei lag al hanavim. They would say about the Nevi'im that your words are nothing more than, you have to read the pasuk backwards. The lev ra, the evil heart of the generation, would say concerning the prophets that their words are not words of Musar. They're not words to be taken seriously. It's nothing more than shor bashirim. They're singing nice songs.
Yeah. Medication, severe depression medication.
You need both.
Shows a combination.
Absolutely both. I don't need to take away from therapy.
Problems,
of course. You need both. But I just wanted to focus on this pasuk. V'shar bashim alevra, a person according to the similar interpretation, levra here means a person that's sad, a person that's seriously depressed. That's what the mitzvah says, and it says you're singing songs to him. V'shar, you're singing the most basic pshat. This is the mitzvah. V'shar bashim. Let's put on some nice music. let me sing to you, let me talk nicely to you, and this is going to lift you out of your depression. So it says here in the Mitzvah, it says here in the Pasuk, it's not going to work. It may work momentarily, but it's not going to solve the underlying problem. There's something that's much deeper that requires something more. It doesn't say what to do. They didn't have these medications. They didn't have what today. It's what today. Baruch Hashem, Chas Hashem. The things that are available are nerd of oyim. What's available, but unfortunately, I'm just talking from bad experience because I had a very good friend that when he became got a little bit older, he suddenly. To the shock of those that were friendly with him, he became clinically depressed, and he had some very serious problems. And some of his chaverim family helped him, took him to doctors, and also involved in raising a lot of money, because the insurance doesn't pay for he has insurance, but some of the good doctors in this field do not take insurance, and it's a fortune of money to go to a good doctor. And then at one point in time, there was a person that was, I say, in the way. He got in the way, and he said, no, it's dangerous to take these medications. It's not good for the kidneys, for the liver. And therapy is enough. Therapy. And they spent an enormous amount of money on psychologists, on therapy. And as far as I can say, from what I saw, it did absolutely nothing. And then when he ultimately did take medication, which took a very long time until they hit the right medication, the right balance, it did miracles. Mifsin. So, and like we were always saying, this thing, therapy is good for someone that, from our experience, again, I'm just talking from bad experience. I'm not chas v'shalom, baruch Hashem, I don't know from this, I just from just a little limited experience. If someone is slightly depressed, therapy can do wonders. But something that's very, very serious, something, a chemical imbalance in the brain, you need to restore the chemical balance, which requires some very serious measures. And the Pasuk really says this. It says, say, a lev ra, and according to the Mitzvah, a lev ra is depression. That's the way he seems to define it. A person that's full of sorrow, Lev Hanishbar Hamaleo La Tuga. That's filled with sorrow. Sounds like an ancient version of what we would call clinical depression, the way of describing. It says singing songs is going to accomplish nothing. Just like putting on a summer suit on a bitter cold winter day will not give you warmth. And the second example, that's what it says. So you see that, I told you, obviously every single situation is different. And a person is only slightly depressed, obviously can do wonders. And even with the medication, there's also a need. Absolutely, there has to be therapy. Baruch Hashem, people that are from, that are religious, that go to shul three times a day, going to shul three times a day and having a social interaction with people in the community is probably 100 times more than the average. Is more therapeutic. There's more social interaction than 100 times more than the average irreligious non-Jew out in the country who just sits home the whole day and watches television, and they can't work. So prayer, psychological effect, general. They're more upbeat. They're happier. They're outlook on life. Right. But you have to know the limits. It's very important. A person, Rahman Ulstan, all of these types of therapies and these type of ideas don't do enough. It says here in the Pasuk very clearly, Shlomo HaMelech, he knew what he was talking about. For Shar Bashirim, singing songs is not going to help. Alev Ra, he does not give us the solution. Maybe in his day there was no solution. Rahman Ulstan, we know only 50, 60, 100 years ago, people that had these mental conditions, It was very serious stuff. Like even Jacqueline Kennedy, she, they say, was clinically depressed. They didn't have the medication, so she had shock therapy. They gave her, it's documented, they gave her, they still do today. They lose memory. They still do. They do it in limited cases. They still do it today. But that was the very common technique.
There's a reason it worked, though. They don't know why, but it worked.
Okay, then, but they stay with the look. The they say the side effects of losing our memory is
memory
went, yeah. So that, but they do it occasionally today when nothing else works. I've heard that very rare conditions will a doctor allow some type of shock therapy, but it's not at all. What?
The classic example I remember from now.
So that's a that's a very big question. Every time you say something in Tanakh, so is Scholl's depression a clinical depression that today the doctors would say was a chemical imbalance, or some will say you can't say that Scholl Melech is a Kodesh Vatar, the first Melech in Klal Yisrael. It has to do with spiritual matters. There was a ruach HaKodesh was taken away from him, or his sense was being taken away from him. That's something to be interpreted in a more spiritual plane. It's not for us to go and say that if we would have given Shaul some of these medications that are available today, all of his problems would have been solved. He wouldn't have thrown a spear to kill David. He wouldn't have behaved the way he did.
His own son.
So you're going to say that Shaul HaMelech, we're going to read Tanakh. Are we allowed to read a psukim in Tanakh and Shmuel and say judge him on the standards of the 21st century? It's. I don't think it will go off well. I mean, some do say this. Some say that if we had Shaul HaMelech in front of us today, we would be able to go send him to a doctor and we would have solved all of his problems. You're going to say that about Shaul HaMelech?
He was angry. I mean,
yeah, he had real issues.
Life
but
messed up.
But the issues, the way the psukim presented, it's who was it? David, when David was running away from one of the kings, I do not remember. So he went to the king of Moab. Was the king of Moab, and then Lanatzeach. We say it in Shabbos that David, he feigned insanity. Avimelech, Mishanoi is Tamoy Lifnei Avimelech Vayigarshe. When David HaMelech was running for his life, before that point in time, David HaMelech, he complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything that you created, I understand. There's a purpose in everything. There's only one thing I don't understand in this world. Mental illness. That's what he said. It's the only thing that to me makes absolutely no sense. Why should there be in this world such a metzias that people are mentally ill? And Hashem said to David, don't complain. The day will come when you'll need it. When you'll need it. And it saved his life. Because when he came to Avimelech, and Avimelech realized who he had David HaMelech, he was going to kill him. And then David HaMelech, he made believe, he feigned insanity, and Avimelech had a tzara that his own children were mentally unstable. And he said to, after David started drooling and running on the walls and doing all of these crazy things, he was a good actor, David. David would have gotten an award, Hollywood, for good acting. And he said, Chasar Meshugoyim Oni. Avimelech said, do I lack Meshugoyim? I have enough Meshugoyim. My own family, my own children, my own daughters, they're writing on the walls, they're drooling, they're doing all of these crazy things. And you bring me here more Meshugoyim? Get rid of him. Enough. I don't need this Meshugoyim. So you see, David HaMelech, this is very shocking, Magma Chazal, that David HaMelech said about this industry, this whole category of people, Rachmanu Litzlan. It's a very, very tragic, very sad thing. About mental health, he did not understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought such a terrible thing into this world, and yet Hashem said, there's a purpose. It's not satisfying the answer just because he came to Avimelech, he feigned insanity. That right, we understand, there wouldn't have been another solution. Let's say there would not have been such a thing as insanity. Hashem couldn't save David from Avimelech in another way. Certainly Hashem could save him. So the answer doesn't really satisfy us. The question is greater than the answer, but there is such a thing. And I just want to make that point over here that here you see that sometimes there are extreme measures that need to be taken. Let's go to the next pasuk Chaf Aleph. Im roev so na'acha ha'chileu lochem. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. V'im tzame, if he is thirsty, hashkeu moim, give him water. Let's see the mitzvah of David, pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph ha'achil is very short. Mitzvus ha'achileu v'al titor lo sinna. Do not harbor hatred in your heart. An enemy kimayim panim al panim kain lev ben adam. That if he hates you, it's only natural that you will hate him. So what should you do? So instead of building up feelings of hate, you shall immediately destroy this hate by being kind, by giving him lechem and mayim. When you do chesed, when a person does chesed, you naturally create, you form a love for the object that you bestow kindness. Every parent loves a child, no matter what, because the parent has invested an enormous amount of chesed in their child. From the moment of conception, the moment the woman is pregnant, she has to carry that child 9 months. That alone, just carrying a child in your womb for 9 months and waking up nauseous every morning and carrying the weight of a child is a tremendous chesed. You've done enormous chesed for this creature that's in your womb. Even if the mother will never see that child again and for the rest of her life, she'll have, it'll be taken away from her the moment when the child comes out. She'll have an incredible love because of the 9 months of chesed that she has bestowed upon that child. A father as well. Father supports his child. What?
Examples, let's say a child goes off the deck. A child takes a sexual lifestyle that's not appropriate, homosexuality or something like that. How the parents react to those situations. You know, you're caught between a mental balance of it's my child and I love my child. But my child says things that I can't spiritually, whatever, live with. They're very difficult. You have these a lot of difficulties.
All the magazines are full of these issues. All the magazines, they have these.
Out of the house, you'll be a child.
Yeah. Rahman Utslan. Hashem Yirachim. So Hashem told Kol Asher Tamar Alecha Asur Shema B'Kol. Avram did not want to drive away Yishmael. Only Hashem forced him to do so. But Sarah also raised him to some degree. She was the Ikara Sabayas. She also raised him to a certain degree. But she saw that he was a danger to her, to Yitzchak. Yishmael wanted to kill
Mitzachek.
Okay, so we have over here this process. The process over here is we have over here a sone. Reuven hates Shimon. If Reuven hates Shimon, it is only natural that Shimon will hate Reuven. This is human nature. But there's no reason why Shimon should hate Reuven. There's really no reason why Reuven should hate Shimon either. But we have here a cycle that's going to intensify and get worse and worse. Shlomo Melech advises a person to break the cycle. The way you break the cycle is not to kill your enemy, not take revenge, not to punish, but to do chesed. To do chesed with your enemy. By investing in your enemy chesed, you will come naturally to love that person, and the hatred will dissipate. And the same way your hatred for him will dissipate, possibly that will be contagious, and the person, the other, the Reuven, the one who started the hatred, his hatred will also dissipate. Imroy, what?
This is dependent on the other person being someone.
Absolutely, it doesn't always work. You're right. You're dealing over here with an Amalek. Yeah. You're dealing with an Amalek. It's not going to work. In a chanami. So
the Arabs take that as weakness.
Absolutely, 100%. So it all depends. That's exactly the different mentality in the Middle East. As all the commentators and all the newspapers say, is that the problem with foreign policy in relation to the Middle East is that we don't understand the culture. The people in the Middle East, they don't understand. We think in America we're good people. America, there's an idea that you can negotiate, you can be good, you can be kind, we'll send you humanitarian aid.
I wouldn't say
That's Obama.
No, it's generally America's Malchus Shel Chesed. It's true to every president since the beginning of this country, since we started. There's a certain understanding that if in America it works, if you can be good to people in the United States, and they and it works, doing Chesed in the civilized society. So the assumption is that every president, to some degree, that we can be civilized, we can do Chesed with the Umar Sa'olam, and they will also come around and be good and not harm us. And that has proven over and over not to work, because they have a different way of thinking, different mentality. It's a different part of the world. It's a different part of the world. It doesn't work. In Iraq, they need a dictator. It's been proven. They need a person to tell them what to do. Democracy does not work in Iraq. How many people have to die?
We're in the Middle East.
Exactly. How many people have to die until we learn that lesson? It doesn't work. It's a different way of thinking. They're wired differently. So this pasuk, you're absolutely correct. This pasuk, at least what I understand, has to be taken in moderation. It only applies to certain types of people. There are certain types of people where this idea works, and where this technique works, it's a much better technique than killing and eliminating your enemy. Imra'ev so nacha, your neighborly friendly enemy, hachileu lechem, give him a piece of bread, do chesed, give chesed, bring him a nice mishloach manos, he'll become your best friend. Im tzameh hashkeu moyim. Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal had a very interesting, different approach of Obama and Netanyahu. Obama has what we call a cooperative approach. They call it. You cooperate, like you say, exactly the first sentence. Netanyahu has what's called a coercive approach. You force them.
It's a different part of the world. It's a different part of the world. It's a different culture. It's a different. It's a different culture. That's what it's all about. That's exactly the difference. Netanyahu is telling Obama, you don't understand these people. You can't trust them. That's not the way you deal with Iran. They have a different way of thinking. And Obama is an American. He comes from a whole different frame of mind, and it's different. Okay, let's see Pasuk Chaf Aleph Rashi. Imrev sonacha kimashmo'o. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Don't starve your enemy. Rabbeinu Perushu al Yetzer. Here Rashi now goes into the Medrash. And the Medrash interprets the Pasuk in reference to the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is starving to make you sin. There's no greater pleasure the Satan has than causing a Jew to sin. So how do you deal with the Yetzer Hara? The answer is you have to feed him bread. What does it mean to feed him bread? L'chu lachamu b'lachmi. To learn a daf gemara. Mayim, give him a drink of water. Hoy kol tzameh l'chu l'mayim. Mayim and lechem are metaphors for the study of Torah. In Paga ba menuvel zeh, moshcheu l'beis ha-medrash. If the Yetzer Hara, the menuvel, let me just turn this machine the other way. Too much noise here. Try like this. In Paga ba menuvel zeh, moshcheu l'beis ha-medrash, if the Yetzer Hara comes to approach the person, you have to eliminate him by taking him to the beis ha-medrash, and that's what the pasuk over here says. Your enemy is hungry to cause you to sin, feed him bread. If he's thirsty to make you sin, give him some water, some Torah. Learn the words of Rashi. That I was saying to Perushu al Yetzer Hara im roiv hu, if he's hungry, v'oimer l'cha, and he tells you v'oimer l'cha lehasbioi ba'averos, and he tries to satisfy you by doing. He tries to satisfy himself by convincing you to do averos. Moshoch es atzmecha lebeis hamedrash. Go to the Beis HaMedrash, v'hachileu melcham b'shal Torah, and feed him from the bread of Torah, v'chein hashkeu mayim, give him water, meimecha shal Torah, hoi kol tzameh l'chu l'mayim, and that will calm him down.
That's to get him into the Beis HaMedrash.
Okay. So you just go. What's there to get him in? You just pick yourself up and go. See, this Rashi, this Pasuk is not like the Bali Musa. There's a famous one in the Bali Musa and the Gemara. where they explain in Pogama Manuval Zem Moshehu Lubes Hamedish. It doesn't say in the Gemara to learn. It just says go sit down. Just sit down in the base and look around. Look at the walls, look at the people. You don't have to open up a Gemara. Just being in an environment of Torah, it will rub off on you. Maybe eventually on your own you'll open up a Gemara, a Chumash, you'll open up something and you'll come. But being in a good environment, that itself is a Shmira. That's not what it says in the Pasuk. That's not the way Rashi says. Rashi says very clearly it's not just enough to go to the Beis Medrash. Rashi used the words Moshe on the Beis Hamedrash, he's quoting from that Gemara, but he says you have to eat. You gotta eat a little bit. You have to have some lechem, some mayim, some Torah, and some musar, and that will take care of the yetzar. Pasuk on Beis, will we roll a Pasuk?
The Pasuk is also, I think, exciting.
Esther. We're going to come to one moment. We're going to read the next pasuk together. Pasuk Chavbeis Ki Gecholim Ato Chayse Al Rosho. By giving your friend, by giving your enemy, the Eitzahara, some Torah, when in essence what you are doing is pouring coals upon his head. Chayse means to stir or to remove. To remove with a shovel and to pour upon his head some hot coals. Vahashem Yishalem Loch. Yishalem Loch here means Hashem will make peace. You'll now make peace with your enemy. That's the ultimate way. The ultimate way is to have, is not to eliminate the enemy. The ultimate bracha is to make peace with your enemy, if that is possible. And then, by the way, there are two words for peace. There's shalom and sholem. What's the difference? What's the compromise between the two? Pinchas. V'nasati lo esbrisi shalom. And the vav of shalom is a vav kotua. It's cut in the middle, which is symbolic of saying that it would be preferred to take the vav and eliminate the vav entirely, to break it. But sometimes you can't break it. What's the difference between shalom and sholem? The difference is, let's give a mashal, a pot of water. Fire and water are enemies, are mortal enemies. Fire and water do not mix. There's no way you can put the two together. Impossible. What's the best you can possibly do between fire to make peace between fire and water? Have an intermediary. What's the intermediary? A pot. A metal pot. So if you have a pot and you pour it with water, and you have a fire, they're at peace. The fire bubble, the fire burns below. The fire burns below, and the water is in the pot above, and they're at peace with each other. They each one has the fire feels satisfaction that it's having an impact on the water. It's making the water hot. The water bubbles. The water is not disappearing. It may evaporate partially, but in a big bucket of water, it's not going anywhere. There is peace. So here we have taken two opposites, two enemies. We have made peace, but we only made peace by having something in the middle. That is called shalom with a vav. Then there is a higher madrig called sholem. Sholem means where there's synthesis, where the two actually merge together. I don't have a good example. Where the two actually synthesize a chemical compound. You take two different items, you come together, and it forms a new substance. The two things merge, synthesize into one item. Here it says in this pasuk, very interesting, Yishalem Loch. It doesn't say, they use the form of shalem without a vav. That if you are an enemy, there are different ways to make peace with your enemy. Well, the ultimate way is to eliminate the enemy. Okay, you destroy the enemy, but that's not called making peace. But then you can make peace. We make a compromise. You go here, I'll go here. Im hasmol ayemina, vim hayemina asmila. We'll separate. That's called shalom. But if you go the extra mile and you bestow kindness, you give him bread, you give him water, then he'll come to love you, and you will be making with him Yishashem Yishalem Lach. Hashem will cause that there will be the ultimate synthesis and harmony between you and your enemy. Okay, let's see over here what it says in the Rashi in Mitzudas Pasuk Habeis Ki Gecholim. If a person will give bread and water to his enemy, Bamesh Atachil Oso. Now here, Yotzar Lo Ki Ilu Sha'avta Mehayikod, by giving him food. Yotzar Lo, you will create a situation as if Sha'avta Mehayikod Gecholim, you've pulled out from the pyre coals, loseis al rosho, to pour on his head. Ki yavosh me'od, he'll be extremely humiliated. Al asher tigmo lo toiva al hara, that you bestowed kindness instead of punishment. Ve'im ki techashem zel l'nekama, and even though he will consider this, in other words, and here as he's writing the Mitzvahs, is saying something very deep, that your enemy will view your actions as revenge. That by being kind to me, you're shaming me. I hate you. You're killing me with kindness. So the enemy is shamed. It's a terrible shame. The enemy naturally would want to take even more revenge. What, you think you're going to be kind to me? You're going to give me food now? I have an ace. I lost my job. I don't have parnasa. And you're so kind to me. You're going to give me a job. So you're killing me. You're taking revenge with kindness. So theoretically, this is something which would cause your enemy to get even more angry, to have more resentment, to build up in his heart more hatred, and at the proper time, he'll take even greater revenge. But no, here Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it come about that he'll never take revenge against you for this act of vengeance, but instead he'll be at peace with you. Even though this is considered to be an act of revenge by killing him with kindness, even though here you're doing this lishma, you're giving him bread, giving him water, you're helping him out, and you're not doing it lishma. You're doing it as a way to take revenge, to kill him with kindness. Nevertheless, since sof kol sof you've done chesed, Hashem will give you reward as if you have given stock. I told you the pshat in Rashi's pshat. Let's see the pasuk habez in Rashi. Ki gecholim heim lo, by being kind to your enemy, you are taking coals and shat heim lo shechato chesev shayv min hamedura. You are shoveling out of a pyre. Lo seis al rosho, to pour on his head. Rashi is more specific in the translation of the word chesev. Kol sheivas gecholim itoich hahesek kori chesev. Anytime you shovel coals out of a fire, it's called, we use the term chose, kidamar, lachtos esh mikod, to stir, to shovel fire from a pyre. The Hashem yishalom lach, here's what I told you originally, yashlimenu imcha shelo yiskaber olecha. Hashem will cause it that you make peace with your enemies so that he will no longer prevail upon you. And according to the parish before of the Rashi's Nedrish, Rashi's quoting from the Yetzihara, that if a person will go and feed the Yetzihara Torah mitzvahs, the Yetzihara will no longer try to destroy you. But in fact, Adrabah, you'll be able to channel the taivas of the Yetzihara for mitzvahs. A person will have a passion. He'll take the passion of the Yetzihara and channel it to perform mitzvahs. The Yetzihara will be at peace with you. Okay, Rabbi Michal quoted from a medrash in Esther. It's a very famous medrash. What was Esther thinking? Esther is dealing here with Haman. What was her strategy? We have here Haman. Haman has convinced Achashverosh to destroy Klal Yisrael. And now Esther is inviting Haman to a party. And not just to one party, but to another party. And she's telling Achashverosh, the only person I want to come to this party is Haman. What's going on? Haman is the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael. So the symbol is there. It's a very difficult Maimon Chazal. And the simple interpretation is that she was setting up Haman, that the Jewish people were not so bad. We are, when you give a person kavod, when you give a person honor, you diffuse, you calm him down, you take away his hatred. It's a very difficult chazal, yeah?
Identity at that time.
But according to, there's many interpretations, but according to the way he explains it in the Das Chacham, this Sefer Das Chacham, he explains that she was setting him up for ultimately revealing her identity. Ultimately, she would have to tell Achashverosh that she is Jewish, and she is coming to plead on behalf of the Jewish people. So then Achashverosh, al derech la teva, we're not talking about Achashverosh going berserk and killing Haman. Esther L'chora never thought Haman would be put to death. Never thought that her plan would work out to the degree where Haman would be hung the next day. But she felt, according to what it says here in this sefer, is that she would tell Achashverosh, "I'm Jewish, and there's an evil decree to destroy the Jewish people, and the person that issued this decree is Haman." Mihu zevi ezehu. When Haman would hear now that Esther Hamalka is Jewish, "Oh, you're Jewish? You're not so bad. You're not so bad. You invited me to this beautiful party. You gave me this cover on the front page of the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I'm sitting here with Achashverosh in the palace enjoying a cup of wine. Who do I owe this honor to? I owe it to this woman, to Esther Hamalka. Oh, you know, you're not so bad. Maybe we can do something. We can rescind the decree, the edict. We can do something about it." That's exactly her strategy. Now, it worked out a lot better, obviously. Okay, it worked out. What? That's not how I understood it either. But this is seemingly, what I'm telling you, seemingly is the very simple. Ein mikra yoytze midei pshuta. Maamar Chazal, there are very deep levels, interpretations, but there's also a very simple level in the Chazal. Let me read you the
words. Trying to catch him off guard so she could do what, you know.
Okay, in the Hanami. But on a very simple level, let's just read the words of the Gemara. The words of the Gemara are Imroev, it's a Gemara Masechta Sukkah. Imroev, Masechta Megillah. Megillah daf tesvav. Mo ro'aso Esther shezimno es Haman. What did Esther see that she invite Haman?
Same version that the Rabbah has in Megillah.
She learned it from the home of her father, meaning from Shlomo HaMelech. Shenemar im roev so naacha ha'achilei lechem v'Hashem yishalem loch. Hashem will make peace with you. Hashem will make your enemy at peace with you. Al tikri yishalem ela yashlimenu loch. Hashem will cause your enemy to be at peace with you. Esther, according to the Gemara, al tikre yishalim loch, do not read it simply that Hashem will give you reward, Hashem will pay you for your efforts. The Gemara says, in reference to Esther, yash limenu loch, Hashem will cause your enemy to be at peace with you. According to the very simple translation, does this mean Esther meant to have Haman executed? That's not what it means, yash limenu. To be at peace means you live, I live, and we'll be friends happily ever after. That's what the word Yashlim and Aloch. And here in the parish of the Stas Chachamim, that's really how he explains. He explains that. That's he elaborates. And he says, she just wanted to show, listen, there's a possibility you have an enemy, and if you're good to your enemy, you show, I'm not such a bad person. Why do you hate us? Why do you hate us? There's no reason to hate us. Now, it's not going to work with ISIS. It's not going to work with Al-Qaeda. It's not going to work with all these Meshugayim out there. We all know that, because they what? I don't know the answer. That's the problem, because the Pasuk says there is. The Pasuk does seem to say that there is a situation when it does work. I don't know the answer. You're asking really, really good. You know, for example, I remember years ago someone speaking about Al-Qaeda. This is the year during the Iraq War. What could you give Al-Qaeda that will satisfy them? Let's say, is there something in this world you can give them? Okay, you could have it, and now leave us alone. Peace to the world. And the answer, there's nothing. There's nothing you can give them that will satisfy them. They will not come to kill and destroy the entire world. Or you'll give them Eretz. You'll give them the Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll pack up and we'll all go to Uganda. We'll all settle in Uganda. Are they going to be happy?
No.
They'll come after us in Uganda. They'll come after us in America. They'll come after America. They'll come destroy the world. Because you're not dealing with normal people. You're not dealing with human beings. But if you do have an enemy that wants something, so there are times you can give them what you want, or you can show them that you're not so bad, and we can negotiate, and then you can be satisfied. Obviously, dealing here with Haman is Amalek, Haman is from the worst form, so the answer should not fit. But yet, the Gemara does say these words, Yashli Menulach, your enemy will make peace with you. Esther did not have such lofty goals to wipe out Amalek. Her goal.
I could read those words, Hashem. Yishalem
Lach. Finish you off.
Hashem will
finish them off.
We'll do the rest for you.
Okay, that's an interpretation, but it's not. I don't think it's a simple interpretation. Okay, let's go further. I don't really want to finish the parak. Okay. Now, just by the way, one other quick interesting thing is there's an important Gemara that tells us that the Yetzirah has seven names. This is a Gemara Masechet Sukkah. Dara Shraf, Avira, Vitema, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shiva, Shemos, Yesh, Lo, Yetzirah. And one of the names that he has is this pasuk here, is a sone. A Yetzirah is your enemy. And the Mefarshim tell us that the hatred for the Yetzirah is so intense, it defies logic. It's human nature that a person that you, your childhood friend, you don't do in. Someone that you sat together in kindergarten, you sat together in class in kindergarten, first grade, when you become adults, it's not likely you're going to try to harm him. You try to harm people, to steal and harm and cause grief to people that you don't know. People that you know from your childhood, you seem, there's a tendency you're part of me. The same way a person, the right arm doesn't cut off the left arm, you look at your childhood friends as part of an extension of yourself. And if a childhood friend suffers a tragedy, it's even if you have nothing to do with that person, it's much more difficult to deal with because you feel it's part of you. This is me. I grew up with him, I remember him. The same way it happened to him, it's going to happen to me. It could happen to me. It's part of yourself. So the Gemara says, who is the ultimate, should be the ultimate best friend of a human being? The Yetzer Hara. Because the Yetzer Hara entered a person's neshama in his mother's womb. He did not get the Yetzer Tov until he is bar mitzvah. So the ultimate childhood friend should be the Yetzer Hara. He's been with you since the very, very beginning. So maybe there's some animosity when you're growing up, in time when you're a child, adolescence, maybe when you're 20 years old, maybe when you're 25 years old, so there's still some fighting. But by the time you get 40 years old, already, you should be at peace with the Yetzer Hara. But yet we find the Yetzer Hara is really ready to kill you to the very, very end. And the example the Gemara gives to illustrate this is Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he was the Kohen Gadol of Naiv Lefnim for how many years? 80 years. And at the very, very end, the Yetzer Hara got him. Got him. What chutzpah is this? What? What? Machlokes, so Yochanan, it says Shimesh, it's a Gemara in the. Uvesoif Naset Stoki, it became a Stoki. So the Gemara comments with a question. Yesh Lachos Soine Gadol Mizeh Hayitochein. Is the Zushin, when the person is 80 years old, now 80 years old, he was calling, that means he had to be 100 years old probably. He probably started out at least when he was 20, right? Stama, at least when he was 20. So he must have been already 100 years old. So when you're 100 years old and you meet your childhood friend, he's going to kill you. He's going to try to do you in, to destroy you, to drive you out of this world and the next world. Namastavir. We don't find such things like this in the world. And yet the Yetzer Hara is willing to do. He's willing to wait 80 years to catch you at a weak moment and to kill you. It goes to show the intensity that the Yetzer Hara has for a human being. And that's a very powerful limud musar. A person should never let his guard down. Al tashlichenu le'eis zikna. We think it means al tashlichenu le'eis zikna means we should be healthy. Avada. We should be healthy. Well, but al tashlichenu le'eis zikna means don't let my guard down. Give me the strength and fortitude to overcome the Yetzer Hara even when you're very old. You think 80 years old, what averus can I already do when I'm 80 years old? There are no taivas anymore. Either you're not hungry, there's no taivas for arayos. COVID, well, they say the taiva of COVID gets stronger and stronger.
But when you're in the casket and the guy doesn't say good enough about you, you get up and say, hey,
you knock on the coffin. But that's what it says. It's a shocking thing. It's a shocking thing is that's the intensity in Roiv Sonacha. The Yetzer Hara in this pasuk is called the Sone. This is the pasuk that is quoted by Chazal to teach us that a Yetzer is called a Sone. And don't underestimate the sinner that that the intensity of the sin of this Yetzer Hara, he'll wait even 80 years to, for a weak moment to overcome you.
Okay, let's, what are the seven names?
What? The seven names are as follows.
Larry.
I thought I had it here, but I don't. 16. We gotta go look it up. I thought I had it here. I don't have it here. So Gemara, we have to look it up. And it is Sukkah Daf Nun Beis.
What?
Sukkah Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Ruach Tzafon Techolel Goshem. The northern wind is what creates. The word Techolel means to conceive. To conceives Goshem. In the north, is the north wind is what causes rain to come about. Ufanim Nizafim Lashon Soser. And an angry face, speaks words in secret of slander. Let's see what this means in more detail. We have a mashal. The first part of the mashal, the first part of the pasuk is a mashal for the second half of the pasuk. Kimo, sheruach tzafoni moled es hageshem. Now the northern wind is a hidden wind. It's far, far away. No one knows what's going on. You know what's going on in Canada today. You know the climate. What's going on in the North Pole? We have no clue. It's hidden from us. Yet, what's taking place over there, all the way up north, is going to have in a couple of days a major effect on us. Tomorrow it's supposed to rain, is that true?
Yeah,
the whole day tomorrow? It's coming from the south.
They said 100% chance of rain.
But even when it comes from the south, you have to study the whole cycle, the whole the koyach. It says here that the north is where the koyach of Geshem comes from. And again, he's not really emphasizing this point, but that's how the Mepharshim explained it, is that the north, it's hidden from us. It's hidden from us what's taking place in the north, but yet the activity in the north is going to have an effect upon us at a later point in time. Likewise, so to Kain Lashon Hara, Hanemar B'Seser, Lashon Hara, that's said in secret. Now here's how the Mitzvah translates the words. This is a Chiddush. So in the Pasuk, it's not the obvious translation. It's Moilid. He's basically telling us to take the word Techoilel and to repeat it a second time. A technique that the Mitzvah Stavah does often, repeat words multiple times. So too, Lashon Hara is Moilid Panim Shelzam Min He'amur Olav Al Ho'emer. The victim is furious when he discovers that this blogger said something nasty, wrote something nasty about him. So the victim is filled with fury upon the one who spoke or wrote harsh words. So back,
it's the opposite of a Chaf Aleph. If you're doing good,
then it's going to calm down.
And over here,
if you secretly try to secretly it will come back boomerang against you. Just like the Ruach Tzafon Techolel Goshem, just like the Ruach Tzafon, it brings Geshem. Something that's been taking place secretly it's going to cause, at a later point in time, it's going to cause rain to flow upon the earth. Likewise, Panim Nizafim Lishon Saser, we have to read the words backwards, Lishon Saser, words that are spoken secretly cause are moiled panim nizafim, an angry face. The victim is filled with anger upon the one that spoke these harsh words. And the mashal, according to them, is the mashal is not a perfect mashal on a very similar level, because according to the mashal, the ruach tzafon, the ruach itself is the one that's giving birth to rain. Here it's indirect. The nimshal, it's indirect. The lashon hara is being spoken. And then the victim is now being filled with anger against the one that spoke the Lashon Hara.
He says, Moilid Panim.
Moilid Panim, so it's caused, who's Panim Zam? Who's the Zam? The victim. Look at the word Nimsudas.
What's Moilid? The Lashon Hara?
The Lashon Hara. The Lashon Hara, back against the person. It's boomeranging.
Where does it create? Not from you. Not the one.
The one who spoke it creates.
You're aiming an arrow of Lashon Hara, so that Lashon Hara is where it hits the target and it creates something.
Okay, all right, okay. So the wind.
Besides that, the Ruach Tzafon Techolel Goshem
That's not necessarily bad.
That's not a bad thing. Okay, it's a mashal.
Right.
So obviously, there's a lot more depth in this mashal. I don't see anything just browsing through the mafarshim. But that's seemingly the way the mitzvahs of the mashal. Look at those last words again. So, Kain lashon hara hanema b'seiser moilid panim shel zamin he'emur olav, the victim al ho'emer, on the one who spoke the lashon hara. There's anger generated by the victim. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk kaf gimel ruach tzafon techolil goshem toilid v'tivra es hagetim. So far the same creates. The word techolil means to conceive. Panim nizafim techolil lashon seiser lashon hara. We have to read the words backwards. The lashon seiser, the words that are said in secret, it's techolil, it creates. Loshen says, "T'chol loshen hara kama, loshen hara goyrem sheyiyu pinei Hakadosh Baruch Hu niz amim." So, according to Rashi, Rashi says that the panim zayafos is not the victim. It fits better with the mashal. It's Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The loshen hara that's said in secret causes Hakadosh Baruch Hu to get angry. And this is the interpretation of the mashal of the pasuk ruach tzafon, the northern wind, asuyel lechoilel geshem. It is something which creates rain. The lashon seiser and words that are said in secret, lashon hara, asuya lefanim nizafim. It creates anger. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, an angry face. Asuyim lepanim nizafim turns into panim nizamim. Nizamim means also angry. Zam. Hashem gets angry at Klal Yisrael when they speak lashon hara. Okay, let's go to the next. Yeah.
Just a little note here. Notice that the pasuk says gosha, not at the end of the sentence.
Ooh, ruach tzafon techolel goshem. It's nesnachta though. It's nesnachta.
I don't want to rehash that whole.
Okay, so good point. Ruach tzafon techolel goshem. Goshem ufanim nizanim l'shoin. So you want to bring a rari that is mashal ruach morid ha goshem. Well, that's okay. That's a big topic. Pasuk of Dal Toiv Sheves. This pasuk we had before. We had this before. I think even two times. Toiv Sheves Alpinas Gog Me'eshes Midyonim Uveis Chover. It's better to sit to be homeless, to live on the roof, to sleep on the couch. Better sleep on the couch than sleep in your bedroom and have a fight with your wife. Toiv Sheves Alpinas on the corner of the roof Me'ed, than to be with a woman who is Midyonim, a quarrelsome woman, Uveis Chover, to be in the home of a chover, of a friend, to live.
Still on the roof?
I guess so. Let's see. Pasuk of Dalim says David al pinas gag mibli machse. Better to live outdoors without any shelter. V'yichidi lo mibli chevras anoshim, without any companionship. Chevras anoshim me'eshes mileshevis base bayis in eshes midyanim, to be at home with a woman who fights. Ve'af b'mokum chavuras anoshim, even if you're not alone, even in a place where you have companionship, your children, your family, they're all home. So you have someone to talk to, but you also have a wife that is giving you a hard time. Better go to the roof and be all alone and exposed to the elements. Rashi pasuk of Dal Toiv l'shemes al pinas gag al silik hashlenema. Rashi jumps to the Medrash. The Medrash refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Menashe, he brought into the Beis Hamikdash in Avodah Zarah, when Amon stepped up one notch and brought the Avodah Zarah to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hashem said the Shechin was resting between the Kruvim. Hashem says, I'm not going to sit in this home here with another woman, with a Tzara, with an Eshes Midyonim. Avodah Zarah is compared to a wife. I am the wife kaviyachal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Klal Yisrael. And now Klal Yisrael has taken for themselves another woman, another wife, and this woman is a tzara for me. I rather remove my presence from this makom, and I will leave. I will return my shechina to the Shemayim. Before the shechina went to Shemayim, it went in 10 stages. It first went from the Kruvim to one part to another part. This pasuk is used in the Gemara to refer to one of the 10 steps. And one of the 10 steps of the removal of the Shekhinah is where it went to the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, the Pinas Gog. That's what Rashi alludes to. Al Sil Kashrin Nemar Me'eshes Midyonim Klal Yisrael is called a wife. Not Avodah Zarah, but here it's called Klal Yisrael. They are the Eshes Midyonim. There are numerous Memori Chazal which compare Hashem to the Chosan and Klal Yisrael to the Kala. Klal Yisrael is the wife, Hashem is the husband. So here Klal Yisrael has angered Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We are an Eshes Midyonim. Sheher Shiu Es Maaseha. They have acted evil with evil. Viknitoi Hakadosh Baruch Hu. They have angered Hakadosh Baruch Hu. According to the Medrash, better I shall rest my presence upon the roof of the Beis HaMikdash than I being with my nation Klal Yisrael, ubeis chaver, and resting it in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis Chaver is the Bayis Shechibur Lo. Why is the Beis HaMikdash here called the Beis Chaver? Because they have joined to the Beis HaMikdash Avodah Zarah. Shechibur Bo Gilulim L'Shechina. Okay, actually, I'll read you this Gemara. You wanted to know the seven names of the Yetzer Hara?
Yeah.
I don't have it, but here I have the 10 different stages. Here, this he quotes the Medrash, the 10 different places where the Shechina is moved from place to place. Eser Masos, Nosa Hashechina. 10, Mikruv Likruv. It went from one Kruv to another Kruv. Okay, what does that mean exactly? Kruv Likruv, I thought the Shechina rested between the Kruvim. So this Medrash seems to imply that it rested upon one Kruv. Was it the right or the left? I don't know. The right or the left? It went from one Kruv to another Kruv. And then it went, Umikruv Limifton Habayis. It went to the threshold. What's the threshold? I don't know. And then it went, Min HaMifton Habayis. What?
Doesn't say when it went?
It doesn't say, no. Here it doesn't say. Umin Mifton Habayis. It went, the Kruvin went back to the Kruvin. It went backwards. That's what it says. I don't know what that means. Umina Kruvin Lashar HaKadmoni, to the east gate. Mishar HaKadmoni Lechotzer, to the courtyard. From the courtyard it went, Minachotzer Legag. That's our pasuk. That's the pasuk that we need to refer to over here, from the courtyard to the Gag. Minagag Lamizbech, Minamizbech Lechime, Minachime Le'ir, and Minu'ir Lahar HaZesim. Okay, and all of these are learned from these psukim. We had this pasuk tells us that point that it went to that point. Okay, let's go to the shul. Pasuk chaf hey.
Did it go from the
gav? It went to the mizbeach, and from the mizbeach it went to the choyma, and from the choyma it went to the ear to Yerushalayim, and from Yerushalayim it went to Har HaZesim, and from Har HaZesim it went back to Shemayim. Okay, pasuk chaf hey mayim korim al nefesh ayefa. Mashal, just like cold water upon a dry soul, person is found in the desert, suffering from a heat stroke, and you pour upon his head some cold, fresh water. You give him to drink some cold, fresh water. It's refreshing. It's techiyah samesim. This is a mashal for good news. Person is sitting home, and he gets a phone call. I have good news to tell you. Guess who got engaged? I got good news to tell you. This is equivalent to Mayim Karim Al Nefesh Ayef. Let's see the Mesudos, Pasuk Chafei. Mayim Karim Shnei Elu Hanoson Shove. The two items listed in this Pasuk, their benefit is equivalent. Zehem, what are the two Mashalim? Mayim Karim Hanishpachim Al Nefesh Ayefa. Cold water poured upon a dry, tired soul. Meroyv hachom, due to the intensity of the heat. Ushmur toivah, what is the second matter which is equivalent? Ushmur choyka, shmur toivah, good news. Habol adon, that comes to a person, mimerchog, from the distance. Rashi pasuk of hey, al nefesh hayefa, asuya lohoshev nefesh hayefa. Cold water is used to restore. You give a person a drink, a person faints. So what do? You give him a drink. You pour some water, you sprinkle some water upon his face, it revives his spirit. Now here, where do we find a source for this in the Torah? Yaakov. When they told Yaakov Avinu, oh, Yosef Chai, V'chihu Moshe b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, that was a shmua rechayka. That was a shmua that came from a faraway land in Egypt. V'chin Yaakov v'atechi ruach Yaakov Avihem.
You see that, who sang from the whole time? Yosef Chai.
Yeah, Sarah. She did not believe. Yaakov did not believe that he was alive. But when she gently revealed it, but also did not help. It also did not help until from the previous pasuk, Alevra. Alevra until he saw the Agolois. Vayares wa Agolois, then Vatachi Ruach Yaakov Avim. Now the Med is this a halachic, this pasuk is a source of very important halacha. And that is, the halacha is, if you hear news that it rains, if you hear news, let's say there's a drought, and you get word, oh, guess what? It's raining outside. You are allowed and you are required to make the bracha with Shem Malchus, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elohim Melech Olam, Hatoy V'Hameitiv. What even yeah, Meikar Hadin. No, not in the Chutz Liaretz. When there's a drought. When there's a drought. So Yerushalmi Masech the Brachas Perek Tes Halacha Beis Al Gishonim V'Al Besorois Toivois Hu Oimer. When a person hears good news, you are required to make a bracha B'Shem Malchus Baruch HaToy V'Hameitiv. Let's explain. Umar Roy Lismach Besorois Toivois L'Gisham. The Gemara is Takasha. Where do you see good news with Gashem? Rabbi Berechia B'Shem Rabbi Levi Omar Mayim Karim. That's the Makar. Mayim Karim. That's rain.
Yeah, but how do you know you have to make a
problem?
It's Shmua
Toiva.
Al-Nefesh
Ushmua Toiva. Ushmua Toiva Merchok. So that is interpreted Ushmua Tova. Shmua Tova is Tova Metiv. May Eretz Merchok. Just the fact that it says Shmua Tova automatically requires us to make a bracha. Automatically, that's how
if you hear that along, if you hear somebody who was sick got well, you make that bracha?
I don't know all the details. You can make even trias. You don't see a person for 12 months. You make a trias amesim. That's halacha shulchan aruch. If you don't see a person for 12 months, you're supposed to make a bracha. So
30 days.
No, you don't see 30 days. You don't make a bracha. 12 months. The poskim say the reason why we do not have the custom to make this bracha is because we don't like other people. It's true, it says. You have to have hana. You have to like the person. And if you don't see for 12 months, you make the bracha. But if you don't really care for him, so unfortunately we live in a world where we're very selfish.
What does not see me? Like, you're in touch with him by
email? No, that's not, no, completely, no contact whatsoever. No contact whatsoever.
It's impossible in this world.
Not true. I wouldn't say that. It's not true. There are people you don't see for years, for decades, centuries. I haven't seen you since three Gilgulim. I haven't seen you three Gilgulim. I sleep back in the Middle Ages. You were a knight. I was a peasant. You were a serf. Oh, it's good to see you. You've made it back here again. So there's a bracha of Tchiyas HaNesim. No, so I hear your question, Rav Nechemia. It seems that the Gemara is just focusing on the fact that it says Shmua Toiva. Shmua Toiva. It's brought in the Siddur. So, but have you ever seen someone make such a bracha? L'chaya HaNesim, I've never seen a person make the bracha of Shema Malchus.
Yeah, Shomea Shmua, Shei Toiva Loi V'Lachayim.
As it says in the Siddur, yeah.
Shemele Loi Ben Zohar, he says a Toiva Meitiv.
You say Atoyva Meitiv. What does it say?
You hear news that you just
good news. Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about not seeing a person for 12 months.
But the Shmua Toiva, whatever the Shmua Toiva definition.
It's halacha Shmua Toiva. Okay, so this pasuk is the source. Mayim Korim Al Nefesh Ayefa. This, according to the Yerushalmi, is a reference to rain when it rains after a drought. There's a drought and it rains. That's Nefesh Ayefa Mayim Korim. That. Not necessarily. I don't know, in Echanan, maybe. If you're living there, if you were living there, you would care. So it says, see, Shmua Toiva, the Pasuk says that is equivalent to a Shmua Toiva. And Shmua Toiva, it's a given. What the source is, I do not know, but it's a given for a Shmua Toiva. You make a bracha b'shem u'malchus ha-toiva ha-meitiv. We juxtapose this Shmua Toiva with the words of Mayim Karim, which we interpret to rain after a prolonged drought. Al-Nefesh Ayefa. All right, we'll stop over here.